Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. By the way, I love hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories, the so-called brain drain in the U.S. and its impact on small businesses, and the baseball all-star single-handedly promoting independent bookstores. Those stories after this.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
The clustering of America's most highly educated people in economically dynamic regions has created a brain drain from poorer states that's fueling cultural divisions. According to a congressional study exploring data as far back as 1940, is this hurting your small business? The report, called Losing Our Minds, Brain Drain Across the United States, concluded that migration of America's most educated citizens to a handful of states and cities has created a winner-take-all geographic divide between talent magnets and communities left behind. Dan Boylan, national correspondent at the Washington Times, took a look at the report. Dan, explain.
This was a study from Congress, the Joint Economics Committee, so it was bipartisan and really big picture, and these guys try and fly at about 35,000 feet. And what they looked at was census data going all the way back to 1940, and they found that there really is this brain drain of the country's most educated folks that go to a certain couple of parts of the country, and it's creating, you know, major cultural divisions that we feel in our politics and in our economic lives in America. It's statistically backed by they found that there's real evidence that this is how people have been moving over the last 67 years in the United States.
I was just going to say, that's where the jobs are, I guess, right? Can't you point to that to a certain extent?
It's really where the jobs are. And the big thing, most of the brain drain took place in the Rust Belt, Plains, the Southeast, and parts of northern New England, actually. And it's these states that we talk about, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Kentucky, down south, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, places where people generally think the economy is not very dynamic, and statistics show there was a sociologist who I spoke to who said, if you really want to cut a swath in the world and you're from these poorer places and you've done well educationally, you're going to the Seattles, you're going to the Los Angeleses, the New Yorks, the Washingtons, the Bostons, to go to make it, because that's where the money is.
How much of that might be tied to, say, the decline of manufacturing and farm jobs?
It's very true. It's definitely the decline of manufacturing and farm jobs. And then what the converse also happens, that if you or I, you get doctors out there, you get people who are, middle class, upper middle class, pretty well paid in the suburbs of one of these cities like Los Angeles or Phoenix. And they think, gosh, are we going to ever think about going somewhere deep into rural Arkansas to live? Probably not, because there aren't the wages in those places are also much lower.
I thought that there was a time when we thought, boy, with the ability to work from home so much, that we'd really start spreading out, and taking advantage of, more space or less expenses when it comes to living in parts other than, say, the coastal areas of the U.S. Is that happening, or that's not happening?
I spoke to some demographers who said that that's happening in some suburbs of places like, North Carolina's a state. But a lot of things need to align for that to happen, they say, and part of it is you need to have state governments that are willing to stay ahead and make tax structures beneficial and basically calm for folks to want to work at home. Another thing that was interesting was that I spoke to somebody here, and this report actually dug into, there was a Goldman and Sachs report from late last year that found that post-Great Recession, post-2008-2009 meltdown, that in cities, generally speaking, job rates have recovered. They're up about 14%. And in really rural parts of the country, it's only 3%. So what you're saying is, like, people working from home, I think you see it some in those suburbs, but still it's just not something that happens that much in really rural parts of this country.
We're speaking with Dan Boylan, national correspondent at The Washington Times. He's talking about the brain drain that has occurred in many of our poor states. You made a point in the story, too, about how the brain drain has become such a pressing issue that state officials in harder-hit regions have increased public policy efforts to reverse that trend. I think, that's things like giving people a cash bonus just to come to their state and work, things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. That's Vermont has done that, certainly. They've created, I think it's $5,000 that they've got, trying to lure people into the state, and that's exactly to do those basically working remote jobs, get more educated people in there, because they're losing population. Hawaii did it in 2016. Its governor tried to get about $10 million to invest in innovation jobs. Indiana's been really big. A farmer, Mitch Daniels, is a former governor out there, and he pushed brain drain as a state issue, and now he's the president of Purdue, and he's really trying to keep lots of Purdue University, he's the president. He's trying to keep lots of alums in the state by offering them relief on their student debts.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Boylan, national correspondent at The Washington Times. More after this. Owning your own business can be so rewarding, but also really lonely and stressful. If you don't have anyone to consult with, it's hard to know if you're making the right decisions. That's why you need the Alternative Board, also known as TAB, a group of business owners and experts in your area that you can turn to for advice. TAB has been helping owners and CEOs of privately held businesses for close to 30 years with their business owner advisory boards. Each board is made up of up to 10 local non-competing business leaders. You meet together for 4 hours each month to discuss business issues and opportunities. You'll get valuable feedback and support, plus coaching between meetings. Having a TAB membership can make a huge difference for your business. Members report better work-life balance and a greater ability to deal with day-to-day operations. Plus, a TAB survey showed that their members surpassed the average sales revenues of privately held businesses by 2.5 times. Learn more about getting matched to the Alternative Board near you at my special website, thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. Go now, and you'll also receive an ebook on 25 timeless principles of exceptional businesses, usually $16.95, but my listeners get it for free. Get started today at thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. Washington Nationals closer Sean Doolittle is on a mission to seek out an independent bookshop on every road stop this year and share his adventures on Twitter. The Wall Street Journal says the two-time All-Star wants to take advantage of a job that allows him to travel to cities around the country. Says he wants to support local businesses that are active in their communities and are trying to be supportive with inclusive spaces. Privately owned booksellers declined through the 1990s, but are staging a comeback with the number of locations growing nearly 50% this decade. Before a game against the Mets recently, Doolittle and his wife visited Three Lives and Company in Manhattan's West Village. On a trip to Los Angeles earlier this month, he found Vroman's in Pasadena. A series in Denver brought him to Tattered Cover and Mutiny Information Cafe. Doolittle has a list of stores he plans to check out, largely comprised of recommendations from fans on Twitter. He recently added Classic Lines in Pittsburgh to it. More after this. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with gordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.